welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your call. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you this beautiful evening?
Fabulous. And yourself?
I'm good.
How's that little boy?
My little boy is great. And
both little boys are great?
Both little boys are great, yes.
Isn't that good?
And my world gets turned upside down a little bit.
Yeah, I bet.
Yes. Sleep schedules go crazy, eating schedules.
Oh, yeah, everything.
Yes.
You just get one kind of tuned into, okay, it works this way and we do this, and there's a little bit of possibility of actually being able to have some time to make something happen, or you can, you know, figure out something that make a plan and it might work.
Yes.
Fall back into expectation and illusion of having some control over life, and then here comes this little person who knows nothing about any one of those ideas or hopes or rules or anything.
Yes, yes.
Great.
I was just going to mention serious loss of the illusion of control.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's good.
Yes. And how is the beautiful Carmel?
Well, it's wonderful. As you know, we're on retreat here, and it is a silent retreat.
Yes.
So it makes doing a radio show somewhat challenging. But we have figured out a way, and that is that we... So I am sitting in my car. I bought a very long telephone cord and hooked it up and backed my car up to the building, and so it's my phone booth. And
okay,
I'm sitting here looking out across the Pacific Ocean.
Great.
Talking to you on the radio.
Wonderful.
Yes, it's quite fun.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And you're going to have several other fun people to talk to also, because we have three people lined up here.
All right.
Shall we jump in?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to welcome Trish from Chico. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Trish.
Hi.
Well, it must be Parents' Day. Because I'm needing some guidance around that. I have a 6-year-old daughter, adopted, can I tell you some of the story of
sure.
storyline of what's going on? My daughter's always appeared to me to be a pretty anxious kid, which I think is understandable. Considering her background, but the past month, I guess, which kind of coincides with her birthday, which my partner and I have noticed seems to be yearly a difficult time for her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just within the past 2 weeks, I've noticed some phobias, what I'm calling phobias, fears. She's often been a cautious kid, but we went to the beach a couple of weeks ago, and we've been to the beach before, and she's, you know, had a healthy respect for the ocean, but this time she was terrified of the ocean. And then a few days after that, she was afraid to go out of the house, really, in the backyard or even to the side of the house where there's concrete, because she was afraid that snakes would get her.
Mm.
So just things like that.
And now, as far as you know, she hasn't had any snake dramas recently or anything like that. It seems
no,
to just
no.
come up from out of nowhere.
Seem to be. Now, I have to say, you know, I'm afraid of snakes myself. I kind of have got it under control somewhat.
Uh-huh.
But I have always been afraid of snakes.
So she might have witnessed some of that in you.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I don't think a lot. There was an aunt who there was a trip to visit an aunt, an elderly aunt, and she there was a snake in the grass, and she just went crazy. And so Rosa,
your daughter or the aunt?
The aunt.
Oh, uh-huh.
And my daughter, you know, witnessed that. So she's always been, you know, kind of afraid, but just within the past few weeks, I literally, she would not go out of the house by herself. And there's part of me, that's kind of trying to get with the spiritual program. There's nothing wrong with this. This is just where we are now.
Yeah, what's your impulse? What arises in reaction to this kind of thing?
Just fear that she is going to be more and more fearful of things, and that her life will get smaller and smaller. And I love to go to the ocean, to have her be so afraid, it's difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the ocean can be a very dangerous place, and I know that snakes can be very dangerous animals. But
she actually doesn't know that.
Pardon?
She actually doesn't know that.
Well, she kind of does.
Uh-huh.
She's just a really sensitive, really bright. She's, for her age, I think, understands concepts in a way that is kind of more advanced, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I think she does know that that snakes can be dangerous and that the ocean can be dangerous.
Right, but then everything can be dangerous.
True.
Airplanes could fall out of the sky. And
right.
Yeah. To me, the interesting part of this, or one of the interesting parts, is that your reaction is one of fear.
Yeah.
So
As you said the words, I just thought, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm afraid that she's going to be fearful.
I'm afraid that she's going to be fearful, yeah.
And so it's perfect, isn't it? Everybody's kind of in the same club. The content is different, but the process is the same.
Right.
And so probably you, when you were growing up and throughout your life, didn't have the most compassionate support for dealing with anxieties and fears.
Right. Totally right.
Yeah, stop it, get over it, just mm-hmm. go out there and deal right. with whatever.
Right.
And if you see a snake, well, just try to act like a grown-up.
Right.
And that's not helpful.
Right.
So then what that gives you the opportunity for, of course, is to mentor your daughter the way you weren't mentored.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, actually, to be mentored yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because with something like snakes, it's perfect. You're both afraid of snakes.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you teach her a process of confronting something that we're afraid of and learning to be all right with it, with all aspects of it? So as you say, snakes can be dangerous. Okay. Then it seems like it would be really helpful to know which snakes.
Mm-hmm.
So to learn as much about snakes as possible. She's six, you know, she loves to learn about anything.
Right.
And so what kind of snakes do we have where we live? And which ones are dangerous and which ones are not? And when they're dangerous, why are they dangerous? What causes them to? How do you deal with that? How can you take care of yourself? What are the benefits to nature of snakes? You know, mm-hmm. what are they doing for us? How do they fit into the whole natural pattern?
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, to alter your, both of you, this is plural, your,
mm-hmm.
your relationship with snakes such that you honor the snake, you honor the fear, which is now becoming what we might think of as healthy respect. And I think you used that,
mm-hmm.
that term. And honors the process and the fact that it is an ongoing process of learning about the self. So the same with the ocean. You know, what is it? What goes on? What does that feel like in your body? What do you think is going to happen? All right, let's do it together. How about if we go there and you don't have to get any closer to the ocean, okay? So she learns about the ocean. How far can the waves come up? What time of day do they come up? What are the patterns? What are the rhythms? That sort of thing. How close can I get and be safe? If I sit back here, will I be safe? Yes, this is good. And let her find the line,
mm-hmm.
okay? That you're going to be safe there.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay, then this is where you get to be. And we'll be here with you, and then we'll go down and get in the water, and you don't have to, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect with that kind of support and safety, she will begin to be curious about what's around her,
mm-hmm.
rather than just going into that no place.
Well, good.
I'm hoping you'll keep us posted because, you know, this is big theory to see if it actually works with a six-year-old. You know, if it were you, I would be absolutely confident about what I'm saying because,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
you could take these steps. And so for you to take them with your daughter
uh-huh.
Will be a really interesting experiment.
Yeah, and I think my attitude is huge. Obviously, in how she feels, the way you describe it, it almost sounds like kind of an adventure.
Oh, yes. And how many children get introduced to life from that perspective of this is a great adventure? It's something to learn about and understand and participate in and respect and take pleasure from and hardly any.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be the case that this reaction that she has is one of the best things going because it's going to help her have a relationship with life that she wouldn't probably ever have an opportunity to develop
mm-hmm.
if she were just a normal kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, and of course, if she didn't have a mother who was willing to do this because there are lots of kids who feel exactly the way she does, and they get over it. I'm making little quote marks in the
right.
air.
Right.
By being humiliated, punished,
right.
intimidated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to do that to her.
No.
Yeah.
Not good.
Well, it will be interesting. I don't know if you're doing your kids' day up at the monastery this year, but
I don't either. But you could certainly contact us and find out.
Yeah.
Because, she's perfect age.
Yeah, and I know there's snakes there.
Yeah, there are snakes.
So that would be, it would be
bears,
an adventure.
And mountain lions and any number of things that we can test our fear against.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Keep us posted.
Okay.
Thanks, Trish.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Trish. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Ready for another caller, Sherry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd like to welcome Rob from Minnesota. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm doing, rougher morning and more centered afternoon, but overall good.
Oh, very nice.
And I want to just start by thanking both of you for the various kinds of distance teaching you do, and in particular the podcast.
Oh.
I started reading some of Sherry's books in the fall and got more and more interested, and then treated myself to an iPod for Christmas and have been sort of substituting the podcast for for the news that I used to listen to, and not a bad substitution.
That's great. Because the
news turns out to be the old, pretty much the same a lot of times. So.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it? I was kidding people in group here last night that I was out getting some supplies, and I saw, the front cover of a magazine that is announcing the new war. I think it's the war on pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, good grief. You know, before it's over, is there anything we're not going to be at war with? I just thought, gosh, how about if we just made peace with pain? It just seems so much so less painful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's true.
Absolutely.
The news is not, and it's just a repetition of the same approach to life that doesn't work, the same causes of suffering, the same acting out. Ignorance, greed, and delusion, and it just doesn't seem to be helping much.
Absolutely, and the message that you're sharing, old as it is, it seems very new and counterintuitive and exciting and fresh.
Yes,
I listen.
I experience it the same way myself. Yeah.
And I wanted to thank you in particular. In one of the archives, you made a comment just in passing to someone you were talking with, saying to advising to consider the podcast and the radio show the Sangha for people who are at a distance from gathering places. And that was just a very sweet moment for me. And since then, I've sort of considered myself a part of the Sangha. So I thought I would.
Oh, that's great. You know, there's another thing that we do that you probably do know about, the Reflective Listening Buddies program.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same kind of thing, same sort of attempt to connect people up together to support one another in practice. Because practice gets challenging when the only support system we have is egocentric karmic conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah. So to get another perspective, supporting our efforts to get here and wake up and end suffering can be very, very helpful.
Well, that's good. I will, now that it's summertime. That's a good suggestion. I'll look into that.
All right. Well,
I had a question that has been something that's come up in my practice. Over this period that I'm guessing that I'm not the first person to have struggled with, and that is fatigue. And I'm thinking particularly of Michael with the new addition to the family. I'm guessing that probably he's experiencing some of that these days. And just wondering, you know, I observe as I'm increasing my awareness in myself that very often on a Monday I'll be full of good attention and, you know, being able to focus, and by Wednesday or so the sense of humor disappears, and by Friday it's conversation city. And I figure that this is a common experience, but wondered if there's any guidance you have for dealing with that.
Yeah, and what do you see about that? I mean, there are just so many questions I could ask, like, do you like your work? Do you have a sense of resisting, and then after a while, you know, the effort of resisting wears you out? Do you stop taking care of yourself as the stresses and pressures of daily life build up? You know, do you start turning to drinking more coffee and then winding up staying up too late, or that, you know, just have you, what have you seen about the contributing factors?
Oh, let's see, that's a good question. I think part of it is probably being very eager to do a lot of things and filling my plate pretty full. And part of that, I think, I mean, one angle that I think that I'm beginning to observe on it for myself is that I'm a person who sort of lives by my wits in terms of how I earn my money, but also what I do for pleasure, which is really pretty satisfying and creative. And I'm basically realizing as I look at things that I'm kind of where my optimum mode is playfulness, and that's what I both enjoy the most, and what's valued as a teacher and as a creative person. And I just see that the intensity of that sometimes by the end of the week, there's just I think I'd say I have a fear of those moments when I'm at the writing desk or I'm in front of a class and there's just not much in the tank, and that's worrisome to me.
Okay, so does it feel like you start out with a full tank, and then you give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away until you're on empty?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And so there's more going out than coming in. Do you have a sense of how that happens? How you are giving and not receiving?
I will definitely look at that. I think you're definitely onto something. I think in part it's teaching. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that may be an attitude more than a given.
Uh-huh.
Of those situations. But I do find that I guess I'm helping provide play opportunities for others, but maybe I'm not providing an equal number of those opportunities to myself.
Yeah, and the question that occurs to me is, with that, because it is, talk about an irony, that the subject is play, huh?
Yeah,
I'm sure the conditioning has pointed that out to you any number of times. Do you need to become somebody else in order to provide this for other people? Do you, on some level, leave yourself and become a person who is providing the experience?
You know, I mean, honestly, the person at the really wonderful moments of play and of the creative writing and other kinds of things, I really identify that more with the centered.
Yes, I'm
person
right there.
Who has shrugged off the big backpack full of worries.
Yep,
and
I agree.
I don't know how the backpack of worries gets filled back up again.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And so that's there. There's the crux of the matter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because when you're just there in those magical moments, you are receiving as much as you're getting.
Yes.
Right. Which is what takes you back to doing it.
Yes.
Yeah. And so then the koan is, how does what I talk about as conditioning, how does conditioning then come in to take that for itself instead of allowing you to have it? Because if you were to stay in that centered place, you're giving, and the people that you're giving to are giving back to you, and it's just this wonderful flow of energy that's feeding everybody.
Absolutely.
And then somehow at some point conditioning comes in and begins to siphon off the good stuff. Now I bet you it's in some kind of conversation that produces tension, kind of it can appear as a, oh, this is hard, or, oh, my God, I've already done so much, or, they're not getting it, or...
How dare you enjoy things so much? That's not work.
Okay. Well, that's big, isn't it?
There's some of that, yeah.
Yeah. So it's looking to see what of the, there's Monday morning, and there's that excitement. Then there are those moments, those magical moments when everything is in sync and it's just absolutely clicking and everybody is high and thrilled. What happens to take that away? What is that siphoning off process?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, the places that we can look: body, feelings, mind, and the content of mind. So what tension builds in the body? What are the feelings that are unacceptable, that get pushed down or pushed away? What is the state of the mind? You know, like, does worry come in or that sort of thing? And then what's the content? What's the conversation that's going on that you aren't listening to, that isn't there on Monday morning, but gets increasingly demanding as the week goes on?
That's great.
You got your homework, huh?
I do. That's wonderful.
Okay. Let us know what you see.
I sure will. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for joining us, Rob. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break now, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have two more callers.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Jen from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to call in and just kind of not be alone with the conditioning that's been getting to me. Every year at my job, this is the fifth year that I'm doing it, we have an annual GED graduation, and it's my responsibility to put it all together, and I give a speech at it and organize it and all. And each year, it's happening tomorrow, and each year I get beat up for, you know, quite a while after it happens. I always do something wrong. You know, I mean, one year it's so irrational. I mean, one year it was that my boss had asked me if there were enough bobby pins for people to pin on their caps, and I said yes, and then really I didn't check, and there weren't enough bobby pins, and I just, you know, like, was
you
in despair,
monster.
Right?
you wretch!
I know, it's so, I mean, I can see how crazy it is, but yep. Yet, you know, I...
Not when you're in it.
Yeah, right, right. So I'm, you know, hoping not to have that same experience with it this year.
Oh, but you know you will.
Okay, so I don't know. I just wanted to call to at least talk about it because,
yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
here in my face again, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's no way conditioning is, I mean, this has been fertile ground for a long time. It's
yeah.
Not, it's not going to give up something that good. So, the only hope we have is to see it for what it is, which you certainly do at this point.
Yeah.
Today at the retreat, the exercise that people are working on all day is conditioning gets two sentences. So I have this little thing about any information that can't be communicated in two sentences, you know, you don't need to hear.
Mm.
And
I like that.
Yeah. And so, you know, conditioning says you didn't get enough bobby pins. you said that there were enough, and there weren't. Okay. Got it. Thank you. You're right. Now, we don't get to have that conversation again because we've already had it. Can you picture it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a wonderful exercise. And, of course, it's a great exercise to practice when the stakes are not that high.
Mm-hmm.
So my encouragement to you, it's tomorrow night?
It's tomorrow night, yeah.
Yeah, so tomorrow night, so you're coming up to it, and what you want to do is bring all of the, it's like, it's like, you know, you're camping, you're out camping, and there are bears in the area. And you really don't want a bear to come into the campsite.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are going about doing whatever it is that you're doing, and yet part of you is always listening for the sound of the bear footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
Can you picture it?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the kind of vigilance that's going to be on this. Now, you have to attend to what you're doing, because otherwise that's a big way it sets you up.
Yes. Like
it distracts you into worrying about what you're going to do wrong that it's going to beat you up for, and in looking at that fear, you know, trying to avoid the beating, you do something that it then beats you up for.
Uh-huh.
And of course, what we're learning in practice is it doesn't matter what you do. There are no beatings.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
There is nothing that earns or deserves a beating, period.
Yeah.
So you've got kind of out of the corner of your eye, you're watching for what it's going to start in with. And you lose interest, really, in making sure that everything is right and perfect, because you always do the best job you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That isn't that a given?
Yeah, well, not when I'm listening to conditioning, which is telling me that I don't do the best job I can do, you know.
That's right.
But then I'm already in that conversation, yeah.
That's right. And your experience is you work really hard to do the best job that you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. And so you're going to trust that you're going to pay attention as best you can, and you're going to do everything as perfectly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And what you know is whatever you do, conditioning is going to come up with something that it's going to say didn't meet the standard so that you can get a beating.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just watching for what that is, just watching, knowing that it's going to be something. If it has to make it up, there's going to be something there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start the little game. Okay, so whatever it says, let me get that right. Okay, yeah, okay, I didn't, all right, okay, thank you. Thank you, I have that. And then what you're practicing is turning your attention back. And it may be back to a reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jen, you worked really hard. You did a great job. You know, you put in a lot of effort there, and it was great. That was a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep repeating that until there's no room for anything else to come through.
Yeah.
And then it's going to try another angle, and it's going to say something else. And just listen to it. It gets two sentences, and then that's the end of that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Just see what happens.
Okay.
Okay? Because, you know, one of the big ways it hooks us is the promise that we can do it well enough that we won't get a beating.
Right.
But you know that's not true.
Yeah.
You're going to get a beating. It's going to try to give you a beating no matter what.
Yeah.
So the only choice you have is not taking it.
Mm-hmm.
It can't beat you if you don't cooperate.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Does it shift it at all? See, I'm so excited for you now. You know, I'm so excited to find out how it goes and what happens and what you see and all of that. I want you to be as excited about this as I am.
Yeah, I'm still in that sort of grim place of, you know, just hoping I can survive it sort of thing. So, yeah, it doesn't
feel like it's... You can see how much that is conditioning, right?
Yeah, I definitely can see that, yes.
Yeah, because when you're grim, conditioning has you. It's mm-hmm. got, you know, the firing squad, they're over there cleaning their rifles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're over there ironing your blindfold.
Right. Oh, gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's grim. This is not a good time. When when you really do move into that, oh boy, what is it gonna come up with this time? There's a lightness to it. It's actually funny.
Yeah.
Because you know what a silly thing it is. You know that it's like, you know, if your mother just wants, I know your mother, so I, but let's pretend she's not your mother.
Okay.
Yeah. The bad, evil mother. just wants to get on you about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wants to pick a fight with you because she's mad at you about something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to come up with whatever outlandish thing it is just to engage and pick that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Once you realize that that's all that's happening, you don't need to take it personally.
Yeah.
Yeah?
You
don't need to take it on.
It's just what she's doing. So this is the same, like, this is just what conditioning does. I don't need to take that on.
You really don't. In fact, if you can see it as kind of a vaudeville act.
Yeah.
Okay, and now it's going to trot out the one about the whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That grim place means it's got you. You're really still hoping that you can do well enough that you will avoid the beating.
Yeah, that I can do it perfectly. Yeah, there's definitely part of me with that. But there has been some of the lightness. Like, every now and then I have a moment of kind of laughing and realizing, like, I'm making this all about me. Like, there are 200 other people there who are there to celebrate graduates. Like, this isn't about me, you know. And it's an exciting thing for them. And that's where I want to come from tomorrow night is, like, you know, this is exciting for all of you who are here. This isn't about me in bobby pins or whatever, you know.
That's right, being the perfect person.
Because, yeah.
But this is the part you really, really, really have to get. It, you could do it perfectly.
Yeah.
You would still get a beating.
Yeah, and because I can tell that there's still part of me that isn't quite there because there is somebody who still thinks, maybe I can do everything right and maybe it will finally be the, you know.
This is going to be the hard part to swallow.
Yeah.
That is conditioning.
Okay, that's not some part of me, that's conditioning.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Because all of the parts of you want unconditional acceptance.
Yeah.
They don't care anything about perfection. As mm-hmm. soon as there, those two choices are available, either you can try to be a perfect person or you can be loved unconditionally exactly as you are.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single cell in your body that's not going to go for choice two.
Right, yeah.
The only thing that's not going to go for that is conditioning. So there it sets you up. Oh, no. Maybe you could do it perfectly enough. Maybe if you just try really, really hard, you know, harder, if you just try, if you just think of everything, if you just do it perfectly, and it's just setting you up for that beating that is sure to follow.
So it's more like, you know, yeah, conditioning, I hear you, it's never going to be perfect for you, I'm just going to have a good time with this.
That's
or
right.
Something. Yeah.
That's right, and whatever feedback you have for me, you get two sentences, so make them good.
Okay.
And then I don't ever want to hear any more about it.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, that would have helped a lot with the bobby pins, so I'm going to try to use that one.
Yeah. So you're going to listen to those two sentences, thank you very much, and then you're going to go right back to reviewing the thing and how excited those people are and how hard they've worked and what a great celebration and what great work it is to do and like that there.
Yeah, you know, I have one piece that I know it's just a distraction, too, but I keep getting told with that, too, you know, a lot of the people this year that passed, I mean, it's great that they passed their GED, but they actually didn't, like, some people come in and they're pretty much ready to go, like, they take some practice tests with us, and we see that they're, you know, they don't need a lot of help, so we direct them and give them the information, and, you know, I think we help them get that confidence, but then they don't spend hours and hours. It's a pretty quick process, and they just go do it. And so I'm getting told that, you know, this whole celebration is maybe a farce, and really we haven't helped these people. And, you know, so that has distracted me a lot, and that has seemed I don't know, that just keeps coming up around this too.
Yeah, and now I'm hoping you don't have a doubt anywhere when you put it out like that. When you hear that being said, you don't have a doubt, do you, that that is just hokum?
Oh, I do, so I can see that I'm still with it.
Hear that, I mean, you have done something that has helped these people move forward in their lives.
Even if it only took like 2 weeks, that's...
It could have taken a look. It could have been a smile.
Okay.
Point is, as you've indicated, mm-hmm. it's for them. It's really not about you or the amount of effort you put in or how much you deserve for this to happen, or it's really not.
Right.
You could stand there and say, oh, yeah, you can do it, and then they do.
Yeah.
Everybody still gets to celebrate.
Yeah.
You don't need to sweat over it, and again, make it about you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so one person, you know, you have to carry across the street. Another, you just go over there. But getting to the other side is the point, and that's what we're celebrating.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that people found a way to do that process, and that, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that they did it.
Yes, exactly.
And, yeah, and you're a part of that.
Yeah, whatever that was, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I can feel you putting on your little Wonder Woman armor and getting ready to go out there.
Yes.
All right, let us know.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jen.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have about 8 minutes left here, and we have one more caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Bay Ruse from Sweden. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Sherry.
Well, good morning.
Morning. It's about 3 o'clock here.
Yeah. How are you?
Fine. Do you remember me?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you do. Okay. Yeah, I'm much, much better thanks to you.
Oh, well, isn't that good?
Yeah, it really is. I did a telephone to thank you and to just because you wanted to know
yes.
what happened.
Yes, I love reports. It's an awful thing, you know. You have a conversation with somebody about something really big that's happening in their lives, and then they never say what happened. As a result, it's terrible.
Yeah. I waited a bit. First, there was some difficulty. You weren't on the show one day, and then I waited a bit until things have stabilized a little, you know.
Right.
Because it was in the beginning so much up and down, so much up and down.
Uh-huh.
I felt good one day about my practice, and I felt really bad, and depending on when I telephone you, then it would be, you know.
Right.
But it's become more stable now.
Yeah, you want to go for an average, or at least to be able to see some trends.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, what happened is exactly what you said would happen. In the beginning, of course, it felt very good the first few 3-4 days, and then conditioning kind of hit me with everything it had.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really, I felt depressed, and it felt bad. But but something had changed. I think what you said touched a deep chord somewhere under the intellectual level for me.
Uh-huh.
Because my practice really, I didn't change it in any way. I sit there, I have these tensions, a bit less, a bit more some days, some less intense, and there comes this voice that says there's something wrong with you, and there's a part of me that believes that voice. But after I talk to you, somehow the desperation, the struggle went out of this, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So I'm just sitting, and there's one part that's saying, you're worthless, you're no good, something wrong with you, and there's another part that's believing it and suffering. But I'm not suffering so much. I'm suffering much, much less, and I feel much, much better about my practice.
Yes, and so it's Yeah, it's like you're watching two people in this relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Now, do you ever intercede on behalf of the one who's being beaten?
Do I ever do what?
Do you ever kind of offer support or reassurance to that one who's
well? I thought somehow just being there,
uh-huh.
sitting there.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I've tried to say things, you know, that, but I thought this is the biggest support I can give, just to be there.
Yeah, to essentially let him sit with you.
Right.
And
right.
And then the voice is saying all of the stuff that it's saying, and you're not affected by it, and therefore he doesn't need to be affected by it either.
No. Well, exactly. That's
yeah.
The way I see it. But of course, I mean, there comes moments of doubt and self-doubt and all these things, you know. But
well, you know, it's an interesting process. I say this kind of thing all the time. But what you're describing is the experience of it. So there you are sitting, and you hear this voice just spewing all of this mean and nasty stuff,
right.
And nobody is responding to it.
No.
Yeah. So there's nothing. It's like, you know, somebody tries to pick a fight with you, and you won't fight with them. After
right.
a while, they just run down.
I hope so.
Well, and what I'm hearing is you're already seeing evidence of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because you're not being affected by it.
At least not as much as I was, and not so.
Yes.
So desperate to kind of prove that I'm worthy, that I'm
right.
You know.
Yeah, because the beauty of this process is that it becomes clear. Now it's that kind of clarity that comes like getting wet from walking in a fog. You know, it's a slow process rather than, you know, walking out into a downpour and getting soaked immediately. It's slow in coming. But what you begin to see is that it really is true that the voice spewing that venom is worthless.
Mm.
And that the person sitting there just practicing, just being present, is doing something, being something, offering something that's really powerful.
Mm.
So the characters are seen as they truly are. Mm. And at a certain point, I predict, you won't have a doubt at all about the heroic nature of the person who is willing to just abide, just remain in the face of whatever comes at him.
Right.
You know, we could compare him, actually. Now, this might be a stretch for you, but it shouldn't be, to someone like Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm.
You know, somebody who was willing to just take all of the abuse that people were throwing and to transform that through receiving it into a peaceful presence.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that those two individuals weren't working very hard to remain receptive.
No.
You know, it's not that it wasn't a challenging process, but both of them realized the transformative nature mm-hmm. of that willingness to receive that abuse and let it be turned into kindness and understanding. into compassion.
Right.
Yeah. And so we have the opportunity to do that on, you know, I mean, we may never get on an international scale, but within ourselves, we practice that same loving kindness.
Right. But Sherry, it takes an enormous act of faith, I think. When I struggle, I think that I am doing something, I mean, intellectually, trying to solve the problem. But when I'm just sitting like this,
that's right.
It takes a lot of faith.
Well, it
really
does.
To just say that I'm not doing anything, but I'm helping this person. I'm helping this process.
That's right. But here's the good news about it. It doesn't remain in that notion that we have of faith for very long, because we see it proved.
Right. Yeah. I understand what you mean. Right.
Yeah, that's what makes all the difference.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's what, in my experience anyway, and I bet in yours, that's what gives us the courage and the strength to continue in that way, because we see it working.
Right.
Now, the voices would say, well, yeah, I hope you live long enough to have some kind of result.
Right.
Yeah. And it's true that, especially in the beginning, it seems like it's moving at the pace of a snail.
Right.
And yet, we can see it compounding.
Right. But my answer to these voices, because that's exactly what they were telling me in the beginning, you know, just kind of, it's taking too long, nothing is happening, there's no improvement. So I said, well, I've been doing this for 7 years. I'll give it one more year.
That's right.
So for 1 year, I don't want to hear these voices. They don't affect me. After a year, they can come back and tell me, okay, nothing has happened.
Right.
So this, I've kind of got a holiday for a year, you know.
Yeah, good technique.
I think it works quite well, because every time they come, I say, well, it's not a year yet.
That's right. You're still on hiatus.
Right.
All right. Well, it's great to talk with you.
Yeah, same here. And really, thank you very much, Sherry. It's been a fantastic experience for me.
Good. I'm so glad. And keep in touch, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Thanks. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Bay Ruth. You've been listening to another great Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I've enjoyed this, Sherry.
Say what?
I've enjoyed this greatly tonight.
Oh, I've enjoyed it, too. Let's do it again next week.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you,
Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Good night.